Good morning, friends. Great to have you with us this morning. And we trust that as we meet together, even online, that God would speak to us through His Word. This morning, we continue our journey through the latter part of the book of Hebrews. And I want you, if you can, to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. We'll be picking it up at verse 1 and reading through the entire chapter. So Hebrews chapter 8, this is the word of God. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true temple, set up by the Lord, not man. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses has warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write with them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. This is the word of God. Well, let's pray as we come before God's word, that God would help us to understand it. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we thank you that we have an opportunity to meet with you. And we do ask and pray that not only would you be with me as I speak, but that you would help all who listen and watch this video, that you would speak to all of us, that you would help us to understand and to grasp and to grapple with what you have taught us about who Jesus is. And so we pray this in your name. Amen. When my kids were smaller, when they were little, when they were toddlers, we would often take them for walks, often in the evenings, perhaps before supper, sometimes just after supper. We'd load the kids up, sometimes on their little black bikes, sometimes we'd go for walks at lunchtime if it was a weekend. But often what would happen was on the course of the walk, as little kids often do, they'd grow tired and whiny and whingy, and we would try to encourage them to walk as much as possible without us having to carry them. One of the games that we used to play with our children was a version of on-on. You know the game on-on, tag, tag you it, that sort of idea, but we wouldn't play it normally by touching someone. The idea was to play on-on by jumping on one another's shadows. It was great fun, and we were trying to get our shadows not to brush over the other person so that they wouldn't put us on, and so on. It was great fun. But what we needed to remember was that they were still just our shadows. We couldn't get hurt if someone jumped on our shadow. It was merely a reflection of our outline of our image that was lying on the ground. The author of Hebrews has spent, well, really the whole book so far, outlining for us who Jesus is, that he's greater than angels, that he's more powerful than the priests that lived in this world. We've seen a couple of weeks ago that he's a great king as well. And last week we had a look at the whole idea of Melchizedek and how Jesus is superior to the Levitical model of priesthood and comes from the line of Melchizedek. Those talks are still available here on YouTube or on our church website. You can go and watch them if you did miss them. But what our writer does for us in chapter 8 is he wants to focus our attention on the old covenant and show how Jesus, having brought in the new covenant, is so much more superior than the old covenant. And really, he speaks of the old covenant as a shadow. So the new covenant is the reality, the old covenant is the shadow. I've entitled the talk this morning, From Shadow to Reality. And I've got three comments that I want to make this morning. The first comment about the reality and not the shadow is that we have an eternal minister. Have a look at chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And really, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 is a summary of what the writer has been saying in Hebrews, well, really, from Hebrews 5, 6, and right through chapter 7. A summary of showing us that this new covenant is so much more superior because we have an eternal minister. The point of what we are saying is this, the author says. Another translation of the Bible says, now a summary of what we've been saying. And notice what he says about Jesus. Firstly, he says that we have a high priest who sat down at the right hand of God. Now, this might not seem like much to us. The fact that the high priest is sitting down is actually hugely important and extremely relevant to the argument that the writer is sharing with us here. Let me explain. Remember that the function of the priest or the high priest, especially, was to offer sacrifices to God for himself and for the sins of the people. We did have a look at this last week. You'll notice there, just look back, chapter 7, verse 27. Unlike other high priests, Jesus did not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of others. The function of the earthly high priest was an ongoing function. Every day he needed to offer sacrifices. Every day he had to kill an animal and ask God to forgive him of his sins and to forgive the people of their sins. There's absolutely no way that the high priest in the Levitical structure that God instituted could ever sit down while he was on duty. There was just too much work to be done. You know what it's like as an appy in a factory. If they catch you sitting down, there's big trouble. You learn to be able to do nothing while still standing up. Because if you sit down, you get into trouble. Because you cannot sit and work. The fact that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father shows that the work Jesus has done is complete. It is finished. There is no more work to be done in terms of sacrifice. Jesus is able to sit. The second important thing that we learn about this eternal minister is that Jesus continues to minister, verse 2, in the sanctuary, the true sanctuary set up by the Lord, not man. if you get into the original Greek in this passage here in Hebrews, and if you start to understand the way that the Greek language works, you'll realize that this sentence in verse 2 has been written in a continuous tense. Idea is that it is an ongoing action, an action that never ends. Unlike the high priest in the earthly temple, who would only work certain hours of every day, who never lived forever and died, our Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal minister who has not only completed the work of offering the sacrifice, but constantly is ministering before God on our behalf. As our writer tells us, this is what he's been trying to say in chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. But this still leaves us with the question, what about the Levitical system? What about the system that God instituted through Moses and through Aaron and his family line way back in the desert? Well, our author goes on to talk about this. And so my second comment this morning, the shadow reveals our faults. I'm picking this up from chapter 8, verses 3 through to 5, and then verse 8 and 9 and verse 13, but I'll have a look at those individually. Notice verse 3, the role of the high priest is to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Gifts of thanks to God. There were many gifts that the Israelites had to bring, that the high priest had to bring, the tenth of their crops. There was always a thank offering given at the beginning when they first started harvesting. Lots of gifts were brought, and then, of course, the routine sacrifices for the forgiveness of sin. And we are told in verse 5 that the high priest served at the sanctuary that is a copy or a shadow of what is in heaven. That's why our author says here that Moses was given such clear instructions on how to build this tent, this tabernacle, the temple, because it is a shadow of something way better and bigger. The temple was designed on the same template as the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was designed very strictly to the words that God gave to Moses when Moses went up on the mountain. You can go and read Leviticus. You can go and read Numbers. Even in Exodus, you can read how God wanted the tabernacle to be set up. And there are intricate details about pomegranates and about vines and columns and pillars and altars and bowls and incense. The idea is that this tabernacle, this temple where the people of Israel could worship God, is a reflection of what is really up there in heaven. Just like my shadow represents a true image of me, so the temple reflects a true reflection of God's heavenly temple. I'm sure many of you have made a copy of your ID, for example. Maybe you've got a form to fill in and needs a copy of your ID. And you make a copy of your ID, it never quite looks the same as your ID. There might be a blemish across the paper. Maybe the photostat has come out a little bit dark and you can't pick up all your facial features on your photograph. You see, friends, that's what happens with a copy. It's never 100% the same. And that's what our author is saying the earthly temple is like. Although it's a good reflection of the heavenly temple, it is not the reality itself. That's why we often, when you submit your ID on a form, it has to be a certified copy. Because it's a copy, it's not the original thing. And so the writer says the shadow of the real temple of God is just a shadow. Show us other faults in this shadow. Faults with the whole sacrificial system. Verse 8 and 9, have a look there. But God found fault with the people. So never mind the shadow of the temple, you've now got the issue with the people themselves. They're given a sacrificial system. They're given all these laws and prescriptions and requirements of what they need to do. But friends, what that did for the people of Israel is that it revealed how far short of the perfection God required of them they fell. God's law, of which the temple is part of, showed us God's moral standards. It showed us how much we and the Israelites failed to meet God's righteous standards. The constant need for sacrifices, the perpetual offerings, the never-ending work of coming to God with your sacrifice just revealed that we are constantly sinning, that we are constantly falling short of the glory of God. Of course, this temple and the shadow was ordained by God, but it would never deal with the root of our troubles. It revealed how sinful we were. It revealed our fault. And we see here in verse 9 that Jesus, or the Lord God, had to take the Israelites by their hand and lead them out of Egypt. And notice there, because they did not remain faithful to God's covenant. As much as people in our world today say, I'm good, therefore God will like me. When we compare ourselves with God's righteous standards, we all fall miserably short. Our writer ends off the chapter by saying that this system is actually now obsolete. Look at verse 13. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one, that's the Levitical system, the covenant of the law, he has made it obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Now, perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself as you're watching this video, what the hang has this got to do with us today as we sit in 2020 in lockdown, having church in our home? Well, friends, I think it shows us two things. First, that none of us can attain perfection. No matter how good we are, no matter how many religious things we do, none of us will attain the perfection required to be in the presence of God. Because remember, God is holy and righteous, and can no one who is imperfect and enter his presence. It means that no matter how regularly I attend church, as good as that is, it means that whether or not we participate in church, which is actually required of us, but whether we do or don't, no matter how great we think we are, how good we think we are, not one of us has the chance of getting to God in our own strength. All God's law does for us is show us how much we trip up. How many people today do not try to earn their way to God? Well, as long as my good outweighs my bad. Well, I'm going to give to the church. And I knew some people at some stage that never came to church, but every now and then they'd give us an envelope and say, here's some money for the church. Because they thought that giving money to the church would make God like them. Now, of course, God does expect us to give towards his work. But just giving in itself will not make us right with God. How many people do not consult the ancestors or the star signs or tarot cards or whatever it might be? They try other religions, hoping to find a way to God. Friends, we need to remind ourselves that all our religious activities, whether they are Christian activities or not, will not get us to God. That's what Hebrews 8 is trying to show us. None of these things work. They just show us that we cannot get to God. Perhaps you've stumbled on this video as you've been searching YouTube and you've been trying to find God for yourself. You've been looking here, you've been looking there, you've tried this religion, you've tried that religion, you've tried the next religion. Friends, that is the old way of that God set up for people to remember who he was. We are just sinners. We are feeble. We cannot hold to the things of God. Fortunately for us, though, this is not the end of the story. God hasn't left us with a shadow of reality. He has given us reality itself. And this is my third comment this morning. The reality of salvation. Verse 6. The ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, that is the Levitical system. Why? Because he is the mediator and because it is founded on better promises. It's not reliant on me upholding every dot of the law. It's reliant on me trusting in Jesus. And therefore, the new way or the new covenant is superior to the old. One of the biggest driving forces in our world today is the desire to have bigger and better stuff. It motivates people to accept promotions so that they can get more money, so that they can buy smarter cars, so that they can have fancier houses, so that they can eat like kings. We long for a return to normal, where we can meet with our friends and our families, where our businesses will grow and flourish, where we don't have to fear for our health. The question then is, why then are we hanging on to the shadow when the reality is so much better? As we said at the beginning, Jesus' ministry is eternal. And he constantly pleads to God on our behalf. Why then do we want to trust our pastors or church practices or religious activities to do these things for us instead? How many people have come to me over the years and said to me, Dion, I know that you're a minister. I know God hears your prayers. Pray to God for me. And yes, I will pray for them, but God will hear their prayers just the same as God hears mine. I've had people come and say, Pastor, can I just spend a few minutes praying in the church because I know God will hear me better if I'm in the church. Really? That is trusting in the shadow, friends, not trusting in the reality. You just have a look at the Buddhist religion, how they are constantly offering prayers. They even have prayer wheels, and as you walk past them, you're supposed to spin them. And these then go up to, I'm not sure how it all works. But it's the idea that the faster I spin these wheels, the more incense I burn, the more likely Buddha or some other god is likely to hear my prayers. The Jews constantly offered sacrifices to God, but they had to do it all again tomorrow to ensure their forgiveness and their acceptance by God. Our ancestors constantly want another cow slaughtered or another goat slaughtered so that they might appease the evil things in this world. Friends, why do we insist on following the shadow? Surely it's better to follow that which is superior, trusting in our eternal high priest, Jesus. Now notice verses 8 through to 12, which is a direct quote from Jeremiah chapter 31. A passage where God is making a new agreement, a new covenant with the people of Israel after they have broken the first covenant by never remaining faithful to it. And he says here that a time is coming, verse 8, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, we could spend a whole talk just chatting about who the house of Israel is and who the house of Judah are. But we don't have time for that this morning. So I just briefly want to say that those terms are references to the people of God. Not just the Jews. The New Testament is very clear on this fact, that the house of Israel in the New Testament, the house of Judah in the New Testament, are the people of God who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes Jews, but it also includes Gentiles like you and I. It shows us that the way to God's salvation is rooted in the Jewish traditions and faith, but it also shows us that it is not anti-Semitic. This new covenant is not against the Jews, but a fulfillment of that old covenant in a superior and new one. Remember, the old covenant is a shadow. So it is similar. It does similar work to the new covenant, but it has its flaws. It has its faults. But notice here how the reality is also far superior to the shadow. Verse 10, second half of verse 10. I will put my laws in their minds and write. Literally, the word there is engrave them on their hearts. The idea here is that our trust in our great high priest is an internal religion. Not something that we just do externally. All religions of the world say, you must do this, and then you will get to heaven or nirvana or whatever those religions call their heaven. If you do this, God will accept you, they say. The writer, our author, is saying here in Hebrews 8, that God will put his laws on our hearts. It becomes an internal religion. It becomes who we are rather than what we do. So having just said that, then it doesn't matter what we do. Although we're not given a license to sin, whether we celebrate the Lord's Supper or whether we don't, whether we celebrate Easter or whether we don't, whether we are able to attend church or not, it actually doesn't matter because it's not those elements that save us. The external action does not save us. It's the internal. It's what's inside us that matters. But we also not only have an internal religion that is written on our hearts, not on tablets of stone, but we have a relationship, and I think this is what verse 11 is all about. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a father his son, or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because all will know me from the least to the greatest. It's the idea that when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with God himself. In the Levitical system, people could not have a relationship with the priest, with the high priest. Not only did the priests live on their own allotted sections of land and therefore didn't really live amongst the normal people, but the high priest was superior to all the people. He was separated from the people. He had to keep himself holy so that he could get into the presence of God. The high priest also was so busy that there's no ways that he could look after you and me and know what was going on in our lives. There was no sense of a relationship there. And of course, the high priest died. So even if you did have a relationship, you would have to start another whole relationship again with the new high priest. Often the priests, and we read this in Samuel and other books, that the priests were more concerned about ensuring that they get the better cuts of meat from the sacrifice. Jesus says, and through Jesus, in the new covenant, we have a relationship with him. Surely it's better to follow the reality than the shadow. You can't have a relationship with a shadow. People think you're crazy. But you can have a relationship with the reality. And notice the last thing here about the superior covenant, the reality in the salvation. And that is that God forgives our sin. It means that God no longer remembers our sin. A little bit later on, the author of Hebrews will go on to say in Hebrews 10 and verse 4 that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. It was meant to remind us that we are sinners and that something needs to die for our sin. And he goes on to say that the blood of Jesus does deal with our sin. The issue that we need to confront today in our lives, in our society, in our world, is who are we putting our trust in? Are we trusting the shadow, all the religious practices? And some of them are amazing and wonderful, and we should be doing them. But are we trusting them for salvation? Are we trusting other religions to try and get salvation? Do we trust in the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper to try and save us? Are we trusting in our ministers and hoping that our minister will be able to say a good word to God for you? Friends, don't trust in the shadow. Trust in the reality, the superior system where Jesus is the high priest, who has completed the work, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who forgives our sin, who gives us a relationship, and who ministers to God on our behalf. Why would you want to trust in anybody else, friends? Yeah, the world's in a mess at the moment. Things have been shaken. In earthquakes, shadows shake, as the people do. But here, we have the reality that is not shaken. We have here a picture of one who ministers to God in the true sanctuary, something that cannot be shaken. Have you ever seen a toddler trying to catch their own shadow? Yeah, it's quite amusing. But do they ever achieve it? do they ever attain, are they able to catch their shadow? It's like a pet trying to catch a red spot that moves across the wall. It doesn't happen. You can't do it. It's an endless task. It's elusive. Friends, if we are trusting in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, we are trusting in a shadow and not the reality. Don't chase shadows, friends. Run after Jesus. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that although we live in a world that is on its head, although we live in a world, Lord, where everything seems to be going wrong, we thank you that no longer do we have to trust in a shadow, but that we can trust in you. Help us, Lord, to put our trust in you, the unshakable high priest, who ministers before God on our behalf, who has completed the work and forgiven our sins. Help us to follow you and to honor you and not to seek salvation in some other way. We pray this in your name. Amen. Friends, perhaps as you've listened to this video, there's questions that you might have. Drop them in the comment box below here or send us a WhatsApp, contact us through the website. Friends, perhaps as you've listened to this video, there's questions that you might have. Drop them in the comment box below here or send us a WhatsApp, contact us through the website. But don't just leave those questions hanging. Fire those questions at us and we'll attempt to answer them. Maybe you want to know more about the reality of the Lord Jesus. Do come and chat to us. Well, again, comment below or get hold of us through some other means, our Facebook page.